Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord if you're able to. Amen. We're so honored that she has this opportunity. Now, I just believe in God to do great things through Ashton and the team as they go to Africa. Today, we're going to continue our series that we are simply calling He's Better. He's Better. And this is a series where we're looking at and we're breaking down the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. But Psalm 23 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, okay? And you may hear me say that a lot about a lot of different portions of Scripture, a lot of different verses, or a lot of different chapters. But every time I say it, I can promise you it's true. It really is true. I have a lot of favorite scriptures. I have a lot of favorite chapters from the Bible, and I think that that's perfectly okay. Amen? Amen. I hope that you too have a lot of favorite chapters and verses. But we started out last week, and we made the point that throughout Scripture, we are referred to as sheep. We're referred to as sheep. And that's why the first line of Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because I am one of his sheep. But the cold, hard truth that we had to swallow was this: sheep are not that smart. Sheep are not that smart, all right? They do not make the best decisions, and sometimes they make really bad decisions over and over again. And so last week we showed this video to kind of help drive that point home, and we're just going to show this video one more time to make sure everybody understands that you're a sheep, and this is how sheep act. Do we have that video ready to play? Are we able to play that again? Maybe not. No, we don't have it ready to play. Why not? That's all right. Will it take you a minute? 1 second. One. Just kidding, Keith. Keith works real hard. He works real hard. If we can't, yeah. We're not ready for it. That's all right. They had some things going on today. They did an update and all kind of stuff. Things are going. But what it is, it's a video. If you were here last week, you saw it. But it's a video of a sheep, and a shepherd is pulling this sheep out of a ditch. They pull this shepherd or this sheep out of the ditch. He prances around free and jumps right back into the ditch. And that's how sheep act a lot of the time. They get in one ditch, they get free, and then they jump right back into it. And so sheep need a shepherd. They need a good shepherd so they can be led and they can be fed and they can be brought beside the still waters to rest. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Let me get out of the way. Out of the ditch. Back in the ditch. Very simple. Very simple. That's how we act a lot of the times. Can anybody testify to that? God ever got you out of a ditch and you jump right back in it? Yeah. So we need a good shepherd to pull us out of ditches, even ditches that we jump into ourselves and even ditches that we have dug ourselves, okay? And praise God, we have a good shepherd, right? Because Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." And so I take Jesus at his word and I believe him, and I have actually experienced his shepherding in my life, all right? So I'm so thankful that he is a good shepherd. So last week we covered the first three verses of Psalm 23, and we kind of broke it down one verse at a time, and we talked about how Jesus, the Lord is our shepherd, is better, okay? And real quickly, I'm just going to give you those main points from last week's sermon again, just to kind of catch you up, because we're going to go verses 4 and 5 today. So we said, number one, that he is better because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We said, number two, he is better because he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We said number three, he is better because he's Jehovah Rapha. Every time I say Rapha, I want to roll the R. Rapha. Anybody else? Or is it just me? Just me. Okay. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. Okay. And then number four, we said he is better because he is Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. Okay. So last week, I said we would start out each week in this series and we would say Psalm 23 out loud together. I think it's good to do something like that. I think it's going to help all of us better memorize that. And when we have portions of the Word of God that are memorized, that are hidden in our heart, it comes out of our mouth with a lot more ease, right? When it's in here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so when it's inside here, it comes out of our mouths with a lot more ease, and it'll actually come out in times where life is very difficult. There have been so many times in my life where things were happening that were way beyond my control. Things were just out of my hands. There was nothing I could do. And there were moments where I didn't have the words to say, and I didn't even know the words to pray. And it was in those moments that I was able just to quote scripture. And many times in those moments, those hard moments and circumstances in my life, I've just quoted Psalm 23. Right? And so now we're going to say it together. If you're watching online, wherever you're at, just say it with us wherever you're watching from. All right, so here we go. Psalm 23, they're going to put it on the screen so we can read it together and we have all the same version. This is the New King James Version. It says, y'all say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can somebody say amen? Amen? There's power in quoting the word. There's power in the word of God. Amen? And so last week, we covered those first three verses, and today I said we're going to cover verses 4 and 5. And so here's my first point today. He is better because he is the resurrection and the life. Amen? He's better because he's the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 is the account where Jesus goes to heal Lazarus, who is dead. He's dead, right? And he goes to resurrect him from the dead. And when he's on his way to go resurrect Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus' sister, one of his sisters, meets him. Martha meets him on the way, and she says to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And this is what Jesus says back to her. This is John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I love how Jesus made it very personal to Martha. Do you believe this? He said, I am the resurrection. It is a cold, hard fact. I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe me, you'll never die. Do you believe this? I could actually just read those two verses again and give an altar call, right? Because Jesus just gave Martha the gospel right there, plain and simple. You believe in me and you shall live. Though you may die, this body may die, yet you shall live. And those who live and believe in me shall really, truly, never really die. That this body may waste away, but I'm going to live with him forever. So we're talking about verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 23. And verse 4 starts out and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the number one fear that humans have as a whole is death. Amen. Death. That's number one, okay? And some people might say, well, I disagree with that. I've had people disagree and say, I'm way more afraid of snakes than I am dying. And my reply to that is, no, you're afraid of getting bit by a poisonous snake and dying. And then I've had people say, no, I'm way more afraid of heights than I am dying. No, you're afraid of falling from a certain height and dying, right? And so now listen, I understand, look, some people may say, hey, that's not my number one fear. I get that. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But overall, it's the number one fear that humans have, okay? And what I was... what I read when I was reading about this and this fear is that it's actually not just the fear of death, because people know we all are going to die. We all know we're going to die. So it's not just the fear of death, but it's actually the fear of what comes after. It's fear. They say it's actually the fear of the unknown. So that's what they say statistically is people are afraid of, not knowing what comes after death. But here's what I want to tell you about our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, right? He took the number one fear that we as mankind have, and he annihilated it. He annihilated it. He took the number one fear we have and he annihilated it. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 56. So when this corruptible puts on incorruption, talking about this earthly body, puts on a glorified body. And when this mortal, talking about this earthly body, has put on immortality, glorified body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, praise God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. It reminds me of the old song, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Come on. Has anybody got the victory in Jesus this morning? There is no fear of death anymore for a believer in Jesus Christ. There's no fear of the unknown, because to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. There's no fear of death because it's only a transition. It's just a change of address. When death comes knocking at my door or your door, this as a believer, you know, none of us really want to die. We want to live long, fruitful lives. And I pray that over every person in this room. But when death does come knocking at the door for me, I tell you what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to take a trip on a good old gospel ship. And I'm going to go far beyond the sky. And you might hear me shout. You might hear me sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Right? Amen? Whether death comes for me or whether he returns, I'm just changing addresses. We shall not die. He is the resurrection and the life. And because of that, he is better. As believers, there is no fear of death. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Number two, point number two. He is better because he never leaves. He never leaves. The middle part of verse 4 says, for you are with me. You are with me. He's with you. This morning, I want you to know, if you don't know anything else, I want you to know that he is with you. He never leaves, okay? Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, Jesus, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Somebody say that boldly. Somebody say, the Lord is my helper. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Let's say it together. I'm going to give you a cue, okay? On the count of three, everybody say, the Lord is my helper. And say it boldly, right? One, two, three. The Lord is my helper. Man, that was pretty bold. That was powerful. Right? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Matthew 28, 20. This is Jesus talking, right? Is the last part of that verse. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And then it says, amen, which means let it be so. He's with us always. to the very end of the age. Praise God, let it be so. But there is an unfortunate truth that all of us have to face at one point or another in this life, and that truth is this. People leave, okay? People are finicky. People get offended. People get their feelings hurt. I almost said something I shouldn't say. I'm gonna say it anyway. Y'all forgive me. Lord, forgive me. People get their panties in a wad, right? People many times are self-absorbed. They're selfish, self-centered. And so there are some people who will walk with you while everything's going right, but the moment there's some kind of turmoil, peace out, I'm gone. There are some people that will stick by you as long as the river of benefits are flowing, but as soon as the river of benefits dries up, peace out, I'm gone. You can't do nothing for me anymore. There are people who will leave. And sometimes people leave for no good reason at all. But then there are times that people leave for really good reasons. Okay? The point is, people leave. But my main point is this. He will never leave. He will never leave. He will be there for every success, and he'll be there for every failure and shortcoming. He'll be there for every mountaintop, and he'll be there through every valley low. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a friend to the friendless, and he's a very present help in time of need. Has he been that to anybody here? So one thing we got to know, right, about the Lord our shepherd is that people may walk out on you, but he will never leave you. And he's better because he never leaves. Amen. Point number three. He's better because he's Elohim Shomri, which means God our protector. God our protector. Okay. The last part of verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I just want you to ask yourself, as a sheep, a simple question. Why would the shepherd's rod and staff comfort the sheep? I can tell you why. Because he doesn't beat the sheep with them. He doesn't beat the sheep with the rod and staff, right? He may use it to nudge them, to direct them, to keep them close. He doesn't beat them with it. He actually uses it to protect them from anything that may be coming after them to harm them. Right? So whether it's wolves or whether it's people, whatever is going to try to harm one of the shepherd's sheep, that is what's getting the other end of the rod and the staff. Amen? Right? He uses it to protect the sheep from their enemies. And because of that, it brings comfort to the sheep. I'm gonna share with you a memory that I have from when I was young. That when I was making notes this week, it popped in my head, and I called my younger brother just to confirm that my memory was in the right place and that I had the grunt of the story true, because I didn't want to make anything up, because I was like, man, did this really happen, or did I add to this, you know? And so I called him, and he's like, oh yeah, no, I remember it. That's exactly what happened. So back in the day, my family had gone to a get together with several other people and other family members. And I was maybe 7, 8 years old, give or take a little bit. And my younger brother, Alex, was right there behind me. We're just about a year and a half apart. And I don't remember exactly what we were doing or what we did, but I'm pretty sure we're probably being turds. And we probably needed some discipline, right? But I remember we were on the front porch of the place we were at. And again, we were probably being mischievous, but there was this adult guy who was there who started kind of getting all over us. I mean, he kind of blew up on us, getting all over us. And it wasn't like he was just trying to reel us in or keep us from getting into trouble or hurting ourselves, but he was just kind of being overly aggressive towards us and really threatening towards us in his words of what he was going to do. And I'll never forget this. About the time he was doing that, we were on a porch, and there was a screen door on that porch. About the time he was doing that, my daddy walked out the front door of that screen porch, and he was on a mission. Now, my dad's here this morning. Where are you, Pops? There he is. Stand up, Daddy. He lives in Tennessee, so I'm glad when he gets to visit, him and Miss Susan. Now, a lot of people don't know this about my dad, but back in the day, he was a Golden Glove boxer, southpaw. He boxed quite a bit, and he was undefeated in that. And then also, he was in wrestling. He did Georgia Championship Wrestling, right? So Tommy Wildfire Rich, Ric Flair, a bunch of those guys. And so he would go down to TBS and film the Destroyer number two. Wore a mask, had long hair down to his buttocks. Destroyer number two when he was tag team, and then Pete Martin when he wrestled by himself solo. But so he had some experience in physicality, but he walked out of that door. He was on a mission, and he was on a mission to protect his boys, right? And so I remember he came out, and we kind of stood behind him. And this isn't a word-for-word conversation, but this is kind of how the conversation went. Like, you don't talk to my boys like that, period, right? And the guy was saying something like, well, your boys need to be disciplined, so forth. They need to be taught a lesson. And he was like, well, if that's the case, I'll discipline, not you. And so the guy kind of smarted off and was like, well, you used to be in shape. You ain't as good as you used to be. So I just remember my dad was pretty calm, and he was like, I'll tell you what. You get off that porch, go to the backyard. And so they both walked to the backyard, and I remember me and my brother, we leaned over the wall of the porch. We were just like, it had about a waist-high wall, and we were leaning over. I wasn't that tall. We were leaning over, and we were watching the backyard. And I watched my dad give that guy a lesson. True story. They came back up front. They got on the porch. Guy's got blood coming out of his nose and mouth, and he says, I'm sorry, boys. But let me tell you what I knew from that moment. I knew from that moment growing up as a young man, as a child, that if my dad was around, I was protected. I was protected. It gave me a great deal of respect for him, but it also gave me a great deal of comfort to know that if my dad's around, he's going to protect me. And I think about that, and I can't help but think that is the way the Lord our shepherd is with us. Amen? He watches over us. He steps in when he needs to. He defends his sheep. He fights for his sheep. He protects his sheep. And I'm just telling you, as a sheep, if you know the shepherd, you know that his rod and staff in his hand is there to defend you. And that brings great comfort to those that know that. And I just want people to know that the Lord is your shepherd. His rod and staff, they comfort you. He's your protector, okay? And he's such a good protector, that he will even prepare a table for you to sit down in the presence of your enemies. That is what the first part of verse 5 says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I can't tell you this. Let me tell you this. After that thing happened, we were at that gathering, and we were going to be eating, okay? And so there was a whole big ruckus with that when that happened. But after that happened, I can tell you this. Me and my brother, we went and sat down at the table, and we ate with not a care in the world. We were just like, all right. Guy was still there. Embarrassed the heck out of him, right? He was still there. And we were just sitting there, just plain, comforted, at peace. Because we knew our shepherd, our father, was close. That brings comfort. So God will prepare a table before you in the midst of your enemies. So he protects. I look at it this way. He prepares a table before me in the midst of my battles. So in the midst of the battles that I face, the Lord as my shepherd, the Lord as my protector, he prepares a table before me that I can come and sit at and eat from. You can be surrounded by the enemy, right? On every side, and he'll say, hey, you, come sit with me. I'll take care of all of this around you. You just come sit right here with me. Don't you worry about this. You sit down and eat in peace, right? You know what I think, though? I think a lot of times we end up beaten, bruised, and battered, tired, exhausted, and fatigued physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally wounded in battles, all because instead of sitting at his table and eating the good bread of his word, we try to fight those battles as sheep and we lose that battle. You ever seen a sheep fight a wolf? Don't end up that good for the sheep. When a wolf fights a shepherd, it don't end up that good for the wolf. Right? And so we try to fight these battles as sheep and we lose. We may not lose the war, but we lose the battles because we tried to fight them on our own instead of staying close to the shepherd and letting him take care of business while we sit at the table eating. Right? I'm reading a book. Towards the end of the year, Bill and Melinda Whittington, they actually at Christmas gave me a book. And they had no idea I was getting ready to start this series. It was just a confirmation from God. But they gave me this little book, and it's called Psalm 23 from a Shepherd's Point of View. And it was written by a shepherd from Africa in the West. And he breaks down a shepherd's point of view of Psalm 23 and how much it pertains to being a shepherd. And things that we don't really understand. And so he talks about in the Middle East over there, there are these plateaus with these big flat areas right on top, and they call them mesas, and they're very fertile up top, and they'll grow really good green grass. And shepherds will prepare that place, and they'll take their sheep up there to feast. Mesa means table. Right? They'll work over and over again on these plateaus, the top of these plateaus, to be able to make sure it's ready for their sheep. So when the grass grows, it's a feast. It's a feast for the sheep. And so, but on those mesas, there are wild flowers and wild vines that can grow that could be very dangerous for the sheep and even fatal for the sheep if they eat them. And so the shepherds would go through these mesas and they would weed. They would look intricately through the grass and make sure there's no flowers or no weeds that the sheep shouldn't eat. They'd pull them up, root them up, and protect the sheep as they sat at the table, the mesa, and feasted, okay? So he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. This is Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. This is where the children of Israel are surrounded. The Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's armies are all behind them, okay? They're surrounded. And it says right here, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. It's hard not to be afraid when you're trapped. You feel trapped, right? But he says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I'm going to prepare a table for you right there in prison. Here you go. Here's a way out. Numbers 14, verse 9. This is when the Israelites are getting ready to come into the promised land, and Caleb says this to the people. They're doubting. Caleb says this to the people. He says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. That's an interesting statement. Do not fear the people of the land. They're enemies. Our enemies, they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. For the Lord is with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. All right? Why? Because you are with me. The Lord is with us. Their protection has departed from them. We got protection. We got the shepherd with us. Do not fear them. Could it be that the battles that we face are actually meant to be spiritual nourishment for us? They're meant to be spiritual nourishment for us. Our enemies could actually become bread for us. But far too often we focus more on the presence of the enemy than we do the presence of the shepherd. I want to say that again. Far too often we focus on the presence of the enemy than we do the presence of the shepherd. And because of that, we never see or we fail to sit down at the table he prepared for us to feast at. So I would say the key for sheep in any battle that we face or any enemy we face is to keep our eyes on the shepherd. That is why Hebrews 12:2 says we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? When our eyes are fixed on him, that means we will stay close to him. And if I stay close to him, I don't have to worry about any kind of enemy that may be around because my shepherd is going to protect me. so I can sit at the table and eat in peace. Amen? Another way that he protects is through the pouring of oil. Okay? The middle part of verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. Throughout Scripture, anointing and oil are foreshadowing and symbolic of the Holy Spirit and his work in our life. Okay? And what was crazy is last week, Miss Donna Jarrett, she posted something on Facebook that actually says everything I wanted to say about this. And as I was going over my notes, I typed up several things, and then I deleted it, and I kept going back to this post, and I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to quote this guy. And so this is a post that is shared from Brian Romero, and I'm just going to read it. If you want to go ahead and throw that picture. You got a picture of the sheep with the oil? I love that picture, by the way. The sheep looks happy. Right? It looks happy. Let me tell you why the sheep would be happy with the oil, okay? This is what Brian Romero said. He's a Christian podcast guy, and so this is what that post said. It said, shepherds didn't pour oil on sheep for ceremony or appearance. They did it because sheep were vulnerable, easily wounded, and unable to protect themselves from things they couldn't see coming. Oil was an act of care. It was personal. It was protective, and it was daily. In the ancient world, shepherds would mix olive oil with herbs and spices and gently rub it over a sheep's head, nose, ears, and sometimes the whole body. And this oil served multiple purposes. It healed cuts and scrapes from rocky terrain. It soothed skin that was irritated by heat and dryness. Most importantly, it protected sheep from parasites and insects. Flies would lay eggs in sheep's nose or ears, leading to infection, torment, or even death. This book that I'm reading from a shepherd about Psalm 23, he said what would happen in fly season, that these flies or these different insects would come, they would lay those eggs. Parasites would get inside the sheep's head and cause such pain and aggravation that the sheep would beat their head against the ground until it actually ended fatally. Right? And so that's what the oil served as a barrier. So what once brought irritation, the oil created a barrier. What once brought irritation and danger could no longer take hold because of the oil. Sheep didn't apply the oil themselves. They didn't earn it by behaving well. They didn't request it with perfect obedience. The shepherd noticed the need and responded with care. The oil wasn't a reward. It was provision. It was provision. This image is powerful because Scripture often describes God as our shepherd and as his sheep. When David wrote, "You anoint my head with oil," he wasn't just speaking poetically. He was describing the shepherd's intentional care over the vulnerable places of our lives. Oil represented healing, protection, and presence. And for New Testament believers, this image finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Through Jesus, we are not merely visited by the shepherd, we are permanently cared for by him. Amen. The anointing is no longer external and occasional. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. What oil did temporarily on the outside, the Spirit does for us continually on the inside. That's good. You can praise God for that. Just as oil protected sheep from unseen threats, the Spirit guards our hearts and our minds. Just as oil soothed wounds, the grace of God heals places we've been hurt by life, sin, or failure. Just as oil kept irritation from taking root, the Spirit keeps accusation, shame, and fear from settling in and defining us. Notice something important. Oil didn't make the sheep perfect. It made them protected. Protected. They still walked rocky paths. They still wandered. They still needed guidance, but they were covered. This is the posture of the New Testament faith. We don't live trying to avoid every mistake so God will take care of us. We live from the reality that he already does. The shepherd goes before us, tends to us, and applies what we cannot apply ourselves. When Scripture speaks of anointing in the New Testament, it consistently points to God's initiative and not our effort. You've been anointed by the Holy One. That means you're already marked, you're already covered, and you're already kept. The enemy loves dry places. Shame grows where wounds stay untreated. Fear multiplies where irritation is ignored, but oil changes the environment. And in Christ, your life is not dry ground. You are cared for. The same shepherd who poured oil on the sheep then is the shepherd who pours grace, truth, and life into us now. Not because we ask perfectly, not because we behave consistently, but because love always moves first. You are not surviving on your own. You're not exposed. You're not overlooked. Your shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, still anoints heads with oil. And in Christ, that oil never runs out. That oil never runs out. Amanda, you can come. I'm getting ready to close. Let me tell you something. Because his oil never runs out, because he never runs dry, this is what I know. Your cup will overflow. Your cup will overflow. The last part of verse 5 says, my cup runs over. It runs over. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13 says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The cup of salvation of the Lord is not just full. It's overflowing. How many ever felt his overflowing love and grace and mercy, his salvation in your life? Have you felt that? I have felt it to where my cup's overflowing, because even though I didn't deserve it, he just kept pouring. And this psalm says, what shall I render to the Lord in return of all those benefits toward me? That my cup is overflowing. And it says, I will call upon his name. I will call on his name. Basically, what I'll do in return is I'll praise him. I'll praise him with my lips. I'll praise him with my heart. I'll praise him with my hands. I'll praise him with my feet. However see fit, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will praise him. I will worship him. For he is the good shepherd who saved me from the grips of death. He is the good shepherd who protects and cares for me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and his rod and staff, they comfort me. He is the good shepherd, and he is better. I'm going to close today by reading a poem, okay? This is a poem that was written by John Paul Moore in 1970. Later, it was turned into a song, and Keith said, thank God you didn't have me play the song. In the early 90s, Whispering Bill Anderson, I don't know if he really sang it. He said it, if you know who Whispering Bill Anderson is. But the poem is called this, Drinking from My Saucer. Drinking from My Saucer. I heard this song. I grew up, at East Calvin Church of God from the time I was 11 till I was 28. But my mom and grandmother were deep-rooted Baptists, and I spent a lot of time in Baptist churches, go to Baptist singings. Man, I went to Baptist singings where they'd start at 9 o'clock, and they'd go all night. It's all-night singing. Anybody remember all-night singings? Okay, there's a few people. All-night singings, man. Y'all don't know what y'all missing on all-night singings. I mean, I did nap a little bit under the pews, but they'd have all-night singings. But I remember in some of those churches that somebody would sing this song every now and then. And it always stuck with me. As a young child, it stuck with me. But this is what the poem says, okay? It says, I've never made a fortune. I guess it's too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that none, because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough. But I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all his blessings and the mercy he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. I've been through hard trials. Sometimes my faith grew dim. But it seemed like one day the sun shone through again. So Lord, help me not to grumble about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings because I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help another bear his load. And I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, because my cup has overflowed. I just want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, I thank you that you are our shepherd. I thank you, God, that you're with us in and through every season of life, its difficulties. I thank you that you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. I thank you, God, that your rod and your staff, they comfort us. I thank you, God, that you prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. God, that we can eat in peace spiritually when everything seems to be going wrong. We can still have peace, a peace that passes understanding. So I just thank you that you are our shepherd. I thank you, God, that you annihilated the number one fear we have, that we don't have to question what's after, but you've given us your word. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And no man comes to the Father except through you. So I pray, God, this morning that we would all have open hearts, open minds to receive the Good Shepherd. I just want you to keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, if you don't mind. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to conquer fear. Right? Maybe it's the fear of death. Because maybe you don't know where you're going when this life ends. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today you can be sure of what happens when you die. You can be with him in eternity. How do you do that? Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you confess that you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he came, he lived a perfect sinless life, that he died on the cross for your sins, the sins of the world, that he was taken down from that cross, he was put in a tomb, 3 days later he rose again, and then he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that he is the Savior, your Savior, then you can be saved. And you don't have to guess what happens after death. So maybe you hear this morning and say, I need to conquer the fear of death. What happens to me afterwards? That's pretty simple. You confess, you believe. He'll help you from there. Maybe there's other fears. Maybe you've got a spirit of fear. There's fear, worry, anxiety. And you just feel like you're always, your mind and your emotions are bombarded by that. And you say, hey, I can't get rid of this fear, and I need to overcome that. If that's you in any of those categories right there, would you just throw your hand up, put it right back down? Dealing with fear in any area, dealing with fear, right? Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been feeling alone. You say, I've been feeling alone. I feel abandoned. I feel like I'm surrounded by people, but I still feel alone. I want you to know this morning, he never leaves you. And I want to invite you in just a few moments to come to this altar and feel his presence, to know he's with you. He never leaves. If that's you here this morning, you say, I'm struggling with some loneliness. I feel alone. Is that you? Throw your hand up, put it right back down, right? Yeah. Maybe you're here and you just say, Pastor Ranger, I feel surrounded by my enemies. I feel surrounded on every side. It seems like no matter where I turn, something's going on. Something's going wrong. I want you to know the Lord your shepherd is Elohim Shomri, a God who protects you, God your protector. And in the middle of that, he can still prepare a table before you. He can anoint your head with oil, and he can cause your cup to overflow. I want you to come sit at his table this morning in this altar. If that's you and you say, I feel surrounded by my enemies, I need to come sit at his table. If that's you, throw your hand up, put it right back down. Y'all stand with me. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come receive him, come get rid of the spirit of fear, allow his rod and his staff to beat fear over the head, beat worry and anxiety over the head, right? Get away from my sheep. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down here and receive him as Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down here and feel his presence, feel his comfort. Know that you're not alone. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down here and know that victory is yours through Jesus Christ. You're not fighting for victory. You're walking in victory because he won it at the cross. You have that opportunity to come and sit at his table this morning. His table is this altar this morning. And you have an opportunity to come sit and feast. And as they get ready to sing, if you raised your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, I just want you to come and sit with him at the table and let him minister to you. As they sing, would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.